Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Here we go. 4th of June. It's Thursday Catch Up Podcast. Marto, Margo and Nick Cody. Have you won a scratchy? That's a question we asked this morning. When have you been stranded at sea? Rudy Vanderstone's going to review The Voice, Lawrence Mooney's mates. And we spoke to, cop this, Amelia Brace, who got shot by rubber bullets at the protests in the United States.
Cop this. She copped it.
She copped
it. Didn't she?
Bad.
She got a rubber bullet in the buttocks.
Yeah, you'll hear how it feels to get hit by a rubber bullet. That is coming up.
We didn't talk about one of the big stories.
What's that?
TABs are open, so you know, if you've really missed the smell of a 60-year-old man of cheap cigarettes, yeah, that's the place to be.
I have missed that, Marto.
Yeah, you mean
very much. I've missed that.
Nick just said the pub-free ones, the
standalone
tabs,
ones.
Yeah.
Standalone tab.
But probably
nothing
the pub.
Nothing sadder, is there?
Would the pub ones be open at any pubs that are open? Pokies aren't open yet, you know that.
I don't gamble, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
But neither do I. Just saying.
I only do it responsibly.
Yeah. It's just saying.
You have
very
been able
impressive.
To online play the pokies, though. Online gambling. I know it's banned here in Australia, but you've been playing through those international online companies.
If you're logging on to a Jamaican website to play more chili, just have a good hard look at yourself.
Yeah, you had a little break. You can get back into it soon. I go into those TABs sometimes to have a bet on a Saturday.
A standalone TAB?
To feel better about myself.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel better about yourself?
To feel young again, Marto? Look around. I've got 20 years on this.
To go, you have to change a few parts of your lifestyle, otherwise you'll look like those men.
Look into your future.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no.
Sad.
A few rums away from that, don't worry.
Sad.
Standalone
TAB's
up here, though. Shall we change course? Yesterday on our podcast, you said that you and Kath weren't having sex because she despises the goatee and you were going to get rid of it because today is her birthday. Then, and may I point out, you still yet have not wished her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I've rung her. I've rung her. I wanted to make it private.
You
thing.
Should display. Well,
true love's private.
You said happy birthday to me on air. You said happy birthday to Nick on air.
You
say happy
those.
Birthday to anyone except your wife, your beautiful wife of how many years?
Our anniversary's coming up. I haven't got to do that math. 28 years.
Amazing.
I thought 18.
Well done.
You still got the goatee, though.
You didn't shave the goatee off. Did you get the leg over?
Do we draw conclusions from that?
Well, this is about the goat, the greatest of all time, our song. And they're going, you can't shave it off until that.
The goatee in honour of the goat.
And that's why I've been outside going, when do massage parlours open?
What has that got to do with your goatee?
Well, if I'm not going to get any sex, I need to get things sorted out. I'm kidding.
No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not.
Let's get into the podcast.
Say goodbye, Dave.
Hold on.
Say goodbye.
Let's just go down that track if I was serious, because I did ask somebody, a young bloke outside, who I thought might use the services.
What did he say? Are they operating?
He said, do you really think during the lockdown period that they adopted a COVID-safe plan? And I went,
Did they use hand sanitizers before and after?
After the shandy.
Face masks and rubber gloves.
Do you know they use cash? They take cash. Incredible. Incredible.
Professor Marto teaching us.
No.
Lessons.
I'm just telling you what one of the young blokes outside told
me. You heard.
Single bloke.
Oh, all right.
Goodbye.
Okay, might have to edit this.
Do you edit this?
No, I don't know. If something's particularly defamatory or might get us
who?
In trouble. I don't know. Anyway.
Himself.
Enjoy the show. We've been talking way too long.
Yeah.
Bye.
My wife and my son, 20-month-old Charlie, went to my in-laws' place yesterday, and we've got a family Facebook message group where myself and my wife putting up photos of Charlie, and her parents and my parents and our sisters are all in there, so it's just...
Isn't that beautiful? That's the best thing about
Yeah, we can show each
Facebook.
Other the stuff instead of boring the internet with them all.
Is Charlie the only grandchild, or does your sister...
No, on both sides.
Golden
grandchild.
Golden grandchild.
Actually, that's platinum child if you're golden on both sides.
Both sides. Mm. Platinum
child.
Charlie. Yesterday, a video comes through. I'm sitting at home, and I see Charlie is helping his grandma, my mother-in-law, in the kitchen, and she's got him with a little bowl, and he's mixing some stuff in a bowl, and then she hands him a cup of flour, and he puts the flour in, and then another video comes through with some little baked goods.
That is so beautiful, Nick. That's how I grew up, and that's how so many kids would have grown up. It doesn't happen anymore. That's old school.
Well,
I love it.
She saw how Nick Cody turned out and the fact that he doesn't cook, so she thought, I'll do Luch a favour and get him in cooking early.
Margot, this is a problem, because at first I thought, wow, how cute is this? And then I remembered earlier this year when I set myself some pretty lofty goals.
For 2020, no booze, no drunk darts, no betting. The other one, there's a fourth one, Marta.
What is
it? I can't cook. I'll learn a new meal every week.
Hold on. I don't know where this relates to, but you haven't been drinking. Good on you. You haven't been betting, as far as I know. You haven't had any drunken darts.
I have been betting. Okay. That's different, though.
Drunken darts, you haven't been drunk.
Yeah, haven't been drunk, so no drunk darts. It's now the 4th of June, and I was meant to make a new meal every week.
Yes.
I haven't cooked one yet.
You have not cooked once.
I love that
since
about
the beginning of the year.
Yesterday, it dawned on me that my 20-month-old son has done more cooking this year.
More cooking than you.
Than me.
And probably better at it, I'm sure. Yeah.
So much better. I had one of the muffins. Oh, great.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Hey, we've got Joseph Ogilvie from the newsroom in next. There is some breaking news out of the UK as well as the US. After In Excess, what you need to know with Joe's Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, I'm super jealous today, guys. What is it? Green with envy. This 20-year-old kid from Perth won $100,000 on his first ever scratchy.
How old?
20.
20.
He doesn't deserve that.
But what's a 20-year-old doing buying scratchies? It's not their province, you wouldn't say.
Well, no, he was buying something else and he had to make up the $10, you know, because you got to pay the 50 cent FPOS fee thing because he was paying with a card and it was only $6. And she said, why don't you buy a scratchie?
It's a scratchie.
This one's a $4 one, get that one. And he won $100,000. So he went back and he gave the lady $300 and a box of chocolates and said, thank you for encouraging me to buy a $4 scratchie. I just won $100,000.
Oh, my God. He gave her $300 and a box of chocolates. That's beautiful.
What a
good
nice
on him.
Boy.
Yeah,
you've got to round that up to $1,000. I think he's a tight ass personally. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, why 300? Where did he get that figure from?
I have no idea.
But he's been well brought up if he did that. That's a good,
very
good
kind
kid.
And considerate and thoughtful. But I'm jealous because I've never, ever, ever won on a scratchy.
What? Not even $2?
$3. Yeah. But does that count? Because then you buy another one and
you
then
said
you lose
never,
and
ever,
you get
ever.
Nothing.
You said it three times, which means you never did. Well, but if you,
I won $3 on a scratchy. It's a far cry from $100,000.
Congratulations, Margo.
I mean, I would have taken the $300 that the guy gave the lady.
Yeah. I've won $10 on a scratchy.
Did you reinvest and then go, oh, it's only $10 and I didn't have it before, so I'll just buy another one. And then you lose and then you don't have,
That's the most I've won. I'm happy with that though. Like the opportunity and the hope and the little butterflies in your tummy while you're scratching is worth, I've won $12.
Like my grandma, she used to buy scratchies religiously, put her lotto in every week, never won a dime, but was committed to the cause. I know a
guy. But she had hope. People read the Bible and they've never seen Jesus Christ. They've just got this rare hope. It's like, that sort of thing.
This guy's just gone and bought his first scratchy and he wasn't even going to really buy it anyway. And
that his first what?
First scratchy ever. And it was he was told to buy it by someone else.
I hate him now.
And he won.
Margo, you're talking about your grandma buying scratchies. I saw over the Christmas holidays at a shopping centre, a grandpa with his grandchildren, who must have been 5 to about 8. There was 3 of them. And he said, you kids were always looking at your bloody screens. I'll give you something proper fun to do. And he just bought them a bunch of scratchies. So I'm standing behind him in the news agency. It was great.
It doesn't happen often, though. Like, you don't hear it. Like, you know, like the millions of dollars of lotto goes off once every, 6 months? Scratchies, I don't reckon that happens
often. Oh, no, don't be like that. If you want to open it up, you ask people because there'll be people who have won $10,000, $20,000. That's set for life stuff to it. Is that $20,000 a month and stuff?
Well, that's what my friend won. Ben Hannett, remember, used to play for the Broncos.
Polar bear.
Yeah, he's down on the Gold Coast now. He won himself a set for life scratchy when he was like 18. He bought himself a house and a motorbike.
When he was 18?
He was 18.
Hasn't he got about 23 kids or something?
He does.
What's that worth?
$250 a year, I think, for 5 years.
Oh,
so $1 million.
It's making me sad.
Yeah. 133353.
But if you'd won that, you wouldn't be up out of bed at this time.
What have you won on a scratchy? I want to know because I'm jealous. I want you to make me more jealous. But no, I don't reckon it happens as often as we think it does. And I would be pretty sure not many people will call because it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. It's a trick.
Teresa from Kalanga. Hi, Teresa.
Hello, how are you you going?
All right, tell Margot, what did you win?
$25.
Bang! See, we're off.
Set for life, Teresa.
My husband, his ex-girlfriend also, their parents won Lotto twice, 2 weeks in a row.
How much?
That's Lotto.
It was quite a bit. They set themselves up. I don't know how much it was, but yeah, quite a bit.
But that's not scratchies. That's Lotto.
It does happen.
Same numbers?
Sorry?
Did they win on the same numbers?
They went their normal numbers the first week, and then the second week they decided to switch it up.
That's extraordinary.
You know, doesn't happen. Mm. And yeah, they won on different numbers.
I've got to ask, $25 win on the scratchy, did you reinvest into scratchies?
No.
Take the money and run, Teresa. Take it and run.
You go a 10, a couple of fives, two twos and a one.
Just get a show of hands in here. Does everyone hate Teresa's husband's ex-girlfriend's parents?
Yes. 2 weeks
Confirmed.
In a row.
Okay.
That's Confirmed. Not fair. Let's
clear Dave. On that. Lock it in.
Dave, talk to me. What did you win?
Oh, it wasn't me. It was my grandma. She used to give us a scratchy every year in a card for Christmas, but they were already scratched. So everyone got $2 prize, and she kept the big one. She was so mean.
She was an Indian giver. She'd give it and then take it back.
She gave us the scratched scratchy with the $2 prize on it, and she claimed that she wanted everyone to win.
Hold on, she'd already scratched them and handed them on.
She's mean as they come, I tell you.
Mean grandma.
Is it true if you just scratch the little serial number, they can scan it and tell you whether you've won or not or something like that? Why would you bother standing, going home, scratching it, and then if you win, taking it back? You just stand there and just scratch all the barcodes off and handing them over.
Yeah. If I wanted to scan barcodes that I knew weren't going to win, I'd just empty the tab tickets out of my pocket on a big race day.
We're on here. Ken from Wynnum. Hi, Ken.
Marto, how are you, bud? Right,
scratchy's kind to you.
Yeah, mate. Pulled 100K one other.
There you go, Margo.
That seems to be the magic number, Ken, 100 grand. How much did you pay for the scratchy to get 100?
No, let's talk about the happy side.
Yeah, well, funny story. It was the missus's birthday a few weeks beforehand, so it was one of those off birthdays, just get a card, threw some scratchies in, like Marto says, bit of hope. Nothing come of those. She scratched about $20 worth, and she always says to me, don't buy the $5 ones or the $10 ones. You don't win on those. You got to buy the $2 ones, you know.
More scratches.
And cashed them in on the way home from work, one arvo, and flicked them to me on the lounge. I'm sitting there having a beer, catching up on some Fox footy. This is about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And scratched along. Three jacks come up on the five of kind poker. I just scratch the things, you know, see if I'm going to win first. Then I'll go for the dollar value.
We're with you. We're living this.
It's like a double win, mate. It's like win, you know.
Come on.
So pulled the zeros, and anyway, I've 1-0, 2-0s, 3-0s. By this stage, I'm shaking like shit.
So you're up to 1,000 now.
Up to 1,000. Yeah. Pulled the extra zero. Got 10 grand. I'm shaking, mate. The blood's running from the face. I'm saying the missus. We're on here.
But it might be 50 grand. There might have been a five the next one.
Might have been a five, Marto. Pulled her out. Another one. Another zero and a one, mate.
No. Kenny, 100 grand?
100 grand, mate, on a $2 scratchy.
Living the dream. Okay.
Can you believe it?
And 100 grand in your pocket.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, mate, I had to because I was shaking like shit, mate. I read the ticket back to front five times. She's read it. We're looking at each other thinking, we're on. So anyway, I've chucked some shorts and clothes on and ran down to the local news agents. And she's...
I hope you did what I'm thinking, mate. 50,000 $2 scratchies. Let's get even more.
No, mate, I did something better. We went to Vegas instead.
Yeah! Hey, Ken, so that was, 7 years ago, you said?
Yeah, 2013. Yeah.
Okay, you're probably due for another win. We're going to give you a $100 instant scratch-its voucher with over 25 million instant scratch-its wins last year. Play today.
Remember us.
If I pull another 100, mate, we'll get a marquee over at the races one Saturday.
Yes. Good things.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast.
Rise and shine.
With Marto, Margo and Nick Cody.
What do you blokes reckon? You reckon there'll be many judges that'll be listening to this radio station right now?
Definitely.
Of course. This would be the only station that they listen to.
Rubbish.
They would have number 1, 2, 3, 4, right. 5 preset to 104.5 on only.
All right. Well, hello, judges. If you're about to become a judge, though, you'll definitely need to listen to this segment because this is the template that a judge school, whatever judge university, wherever you go to become a judge, this is what you need to know. This is a woman. This is a woman now. Her name's Elizabeth Gaynor, I think her name was. District Court. So they call
Brisbane
it count.
Here?
No, in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
All right.
Okay.
There's a couple of badasses that were in jail already. Okay. And they bash, you know, that Tony Mockbell, the bloke who had the world's worst toupee on when he got caught.
He had it backwards, didn't he?
Yes.
He had a wig on backwards.
And you don't deserve to be bashed for that. But
no.
That's all right. So they finally, it happened a couple of years ago, and they finally appeared before her. It's one of the greatest sprays ever. This is what every magistrate should do every single day.
Judge Elizabeth Gaynor warned she was about to go off script.
I can tell you what this court has seen time after time with young men like you.
Dishing out some tough life lessons to the two inmates who almost killed Tony Mockbell.
Right, I've set the scene. Here she goes. Let it loose, Liz.
You'll have six kids by six different mothers, and if you're still using, you'll probably assault them. They'll be kids you never see. You'll burn off your brothers and sisters who'll get sick of you. And the only ones who care for you are your parents.
Tough love.
Go, Elizabeth.
They were smirking at the start, and this is when their heads started to drop.
God, at the end you'd go, sorry, Nan, sorry, yeah. Magistrate.
Yeah,
like your Nan yelling at you.
She's not
messing around.
These are two young, strong-looking fit blokes, and she was into them because Mockbell wasn't young.
The only reason you are getting any attention is because it was Tony Mockbell. But at the end of the day, you two young blokes, two on one, mauled and maimed a 53-year-old man. He heard you yelling, you're not an enforcer. This is what you get for talking to the screws, you dog.
You.
Who said that at the end?
She's dropped the air.
You mongrel dog.
Oh, she did worse than mongrel, don't you worry. Hey, and finally, I've only been into court once where the magistrate said you're an idiot and get out of here and your license is suspended for a while, la la la. Mm. Okay. And I dropped my head, but I've never copped anything like this.
Let me tell you, gentlemen, in a few years, G-Fam and the bros are not going to do it for you. When you're out on the street desperately trying to score and nowhere to live and nowhere to sleep because everyone's sick of you, because you burned everyone off and all your G-Fam bros are scattered dead or in jail somewhere, that's what it's going to be.
Jesus.
She's down with the lingo.
Exactly. Imagine if you borrowed her car and got a scratch on it and you're going, oh, mum's not in a good mood today.
I like it. We need more judges like
time.
That.
Great.
Take a lesson.
Great.
I'd imagine this is how you'd
six
be if
kids,
you ever...
Six different judge. Women. You'll be in jail. Mum, I forgot to put out the bins. I'm sorry.
Hey, what does it feel like to get hit by rubber bullets? A 7 News reporter knows. We're talking to her next.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Well, it sparked an international incident, actually. There's been a lot of violence against police and police against protesters, but also the media's been getting involved. We've seen images over the last few days, and probably the most vivid one was over in the States, Amelia Brace, when they got caught up, the Channel 7 cameraman, he got assaulted by the police, then she got hit in the back. It sounded...
Oh!
Whoa!
Amelia, can you hear us?
Amelia, are you okay? Amelia, are you there?
You heard us yelling there. We were media, but they don't care. They're being indiscriminate.
That was Koshy on Sunrise speaking to Amelia Brace, and we've got her on now. Welcome to the Big Breakfast, Amelia.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Amelia, are you okay? What happened?
We are both okay. We're a bit battered and bruised, as you'd expect, and have a few welts, kind of, from being hit by rubber bullets. But we are, on a whole, doing fine. Well, what happened was we were immediately at the front of the White House. We spent most of the day with this group of protesters that have been moving throughout the streets, and they were up at the Capitol, and a message went out that the curfew was going to be brought forward, so it wouldn't be at 11 p.m, it would be at 7 p.m. So they immediately made their way towards the White House. We walked with them, and we set up where we've been for days in a spot with other media at the front of the White House. And then at about 6:15, we saw a large line of riot police move across and block one end of the street. And we weren't very alarmed because we'd been out with them the night before when the curfew was enforced. So we'd seen the way they move in. It was quite slowly. They basically just move ahead, push everyone back. wait for the protesters to move back, then they do a new wave and slowly push the protesters back until there's effectively a human fence around the block around the White House. So we weren't too worried about that. And also we knew we had at least half an hour before the curfews came into effect, so there was no hurry either. But then all of a sudden there was just this surge with this group rushing this group of police rushing forward towards us. And at the same time, the National Guard of police within the fence started firing out rubber bullets. So we were ducking to dodge those and then trying to get out of the way of these riot police. And we ducked behind a wall, assuming that the police would move past us, given we were out of the way and clearly a news crew, and that we could fold in behind them and follow them down the street. But instead, they came around that corner straight at us. And as you saw, my poor cameraman team popped a shield to the guts and a punch to the face. And I got a baton to the back of the neck. And I was running away from a police officer. And then we ended up getting hit by these rubber bullets and ended up in a cloud of tear gas. So we were in quite a state for a while there. But the scariest thing was not being able to get out of the situation. So that happened, but then we got cornered again and we were just terrified that the next round of police were going to come through and the same thing would happen. So it's very, very scary.
What did it feel like getting hit by those rubber bullets?
Well, if I didn't know they were not lethal, I would have thought I'd been shot. It hurts. It just doesn't kill me. And we're covered in welts that would be similar to being shot by a paintball gun, but way too close, if that gives you an idea of the feeling. So at that point, I was pretty confident we wouldn't be killed, but I was starting to get worried we were going to get really hurt. But on the whole, it is worrying. And mainly, there's so many guns in America. You don't know when someone in a crowd or even in the police or the military, I'm right now standing between the biggest line of troops I've ever seen on home soil in the United States and a big group of protesters. And it just takes one person to get a bit overexcited and start firing and all madness could break loose. So it is still a really dangerous situation.
Oh, we're still watching. I know you got to go back on air, so we'll let you go. But thank you very much and good luck, Amelia.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Amelia Bray, 7 News US correspondent, right in the thick of the action in Washington, D.C.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Who would have thought the funniest segment on our show each week would have been a TV review? But it's not any TV review. It's the cruelest man in Australian television reviewing. Rudy Vanderstone, hello again, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto, and hello to everybody listening to Triple M on the Big Brekkie. Hello to you, beautiful Margo, and who reminds me of my wife, Marta, and young Nick Cody and Dave are under controls there.
Hello.
The man steering the ship.
What were we reviewing this week? So,
The Voice is back for 2020, Marto.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing has changed. It's still awful and beggars belief that people want to watch this talent fest, let alone make their family sit through the whole deplorable contravention of human rights.
Thank you, Rudy.
You're going to come up against Marto and I here because we both watch and we love it.
I'll bag it on a daily basis. Okay. Keep going, Rude.
Let's start with Guy Sebastian. He is back because Channel 9 couldn't find another Australia Never Was prepared to waste 6 weeks of their life training a hopeful never will be.
He won the very first Australian Idol, 2003 first winner.
I remember when he had an interesting haircut. Now he's just a gym junkie that's super inked, like your husband. Bang.
No wonder I like
bang.
Him.
Bang. Clipped on the way through.
A type.
This year, Guy has decided to be cooler, saying things like, oh, I got to see this, or I want a piece of the action, while strapping a red button that will not take him to a better place, just spin his chair around so that he is confronted with his own bleak reality. He's a singing instructor on a TV show.
He's wearing corduroy. He's wearing a flannelette shirt too.
Like,
do you reckon he's ever cut a piece of timber in his life, Rudy?
No, but when he does, I hope he takes his fingers off. Back again is Kelly Rowland. She prefers Australia to the USA because this country isn't on fire and she has less chance of being shot or asphyxiated by a cop. She's sitting on The Voice with her girls out for the whole world to see. Mm. If knockers equal good mentoring, then she could give the Dalai Lama some life coaching.
Yes. He would be enlightened.
I'll leave Delta Goodrum out of this year's Voice Review because I couldn't be bothered wasting an insult on her.
Oh, I love Delta. She's my favourite.
Well, I can't recognise her anymore because her face is smoother than a fridge.
She looks good, but. She looks good, but.
And that brings us to Boy George. Yeah. Yes, a genuine pop star and a great talent, but a man who couldn't look more disinterested. The amount of makeup you wear cannot hide your disdain for your fellow judges or the contestants. And as I said last year, I can't look at him and not remember in 2008 he was convicted of false imprisonment by handcuffing a man to a plumbing fixture and traumatising him. Karma, 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 karma chameleon indeed. You've got exactly what you deserve. And wind back the hats too. You're starting to look like Dr. Zeus's the cat in the hat, champ. I want to get on to the blind auditions. Yes. Probably the most exciting part of this spinning chair nonsense. This year the blind auditions continued and one of the so-called highlights was a Mongolian called Buku Ganburgat, who vowed the crowd with his throat singing. Let's have a listen to Buku. Yes. Yeah, that's not an instrument. That's a man singing out of his throat.
Has he got emphysema? Is there a pen sticking out of his larynx?
Sounds like it, doesn't it? I wish there was a screwdriver sticking out of his neck. Sounded like an animal that had been caught in a snare with a kazoo rammed down his throat. I hate it. Goodbye.
One of the meanest ones yet.
Oh, Rudy.
Particularly aggressive today, Rudy. I don't,
that's right. There was a lot of aggression in there today. Are we the same?
I'm in the same.
That's German.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, I know you're really familiar with Moreton Island, and I saw a little story about two guys. They capsized their catamaran.
Oh, my God. This is a Hobie Cat story the other night.
Yeah.
It's a Hobie Cat.
They were like...
They went out off... You know where Manly is, Nick, down the bay? They went out there Moreton for a sail in the afternoon. I think there was a pretty strong wind, because that's why they would have gone out, because those things would have flown across the water in that big wind, and their masts snap, and that's the only thing that sort of keeps you going. They're just drifting out there as the sun was going down. That was the afternoon
Tuesday
before
afternoon.
It was 9 degrees the next morning. Yeah. So,
capsized their boat in shark-infested waters and stuck out there overnight until they were rescued, and I thought... Jesus, I don't think I would survive something like that.
No, did you see the details?
Yeah, they did.
They let a flare off, okay? So they had their safety gear, which is good on them. A lot of people go out with some of their
safety.
Let it off. Some boat was going past. Didn't stop for
didn't
them.
Didn't stop.
Oh.
Did they some not
person,
see it?
Some person on shore at Manly somewhere, and they don't know who it was. They did want to say thank you, these two blokes. Mm. Saw the flare, called the Coast Guard, and they actually rescued them in a couple of, you know, an hour or something. They got out to find them. They could be dead right now because you're gone if you're out there.
They could have been dead. And Marto, it took me back to a time where I could have almost died too, being stuck in shark-infested waters in Moreton Bay because I was holidaying at Tangalooma Island Resort over on Moreton Island and a girlfriend and myself, we hired one of those little tinnies. You know, it's like $2 an hour and... Yes. $20 deposit, put it down, and you go snorkeling up at the wrecks. We did that, and we got bored of that, so we thought we'd do some sunbaking and lay down in the little tinny, throw our anchor over, but we kind of, you know, looked up and around and realised that we couldn't see the wrecks anymore.
Are you saying the anchor didn't connect with any sand?
No, we didn't get it down far enough, obviously, and we started to drift away, and we couldn't get the boat started. I think maybe flooded it, I'm not sure, but it smelt. And
should Nick and I consider ourselves... incredibly lucky
incredibly
that you're still with us.
Incredibly lucky that I'm still here to this day, because it could have been devastating. I think we saw some dugongs, which meant that sharks weren't far.
Now listen.
If the anchor doesn't hit the ground, it just looks like your tinny's got a rat tail. That's a bad time.
That is so true.
To the fish.
Now, hold on.
Has anybody else been stranded out at sea like me and my girlfriend
were? You weren't
were.
Stranded.
We were stranded, Marto. It was very,
Who
very...
saved you? How did the situation resolve itself?
Well, the guys from Club Toys, which is where we hired the boat from, realised after
toys.
We didn't return...
The heroes.
We didn't return the boat after our two-hour time
said, where
period.
Are they?
Went, where are they? Came looking for us and rescued us.
Are you going to attempt to make this into a phone topic like, when have you been stranded at sea?
When have you, like me, been stranded at sea?
Do you know a Fair Dinkum story? You've ever heard the story of Matt Hayden and Andrew Simons, two former great cricketers, when they went out from the top end of Stratty there at Amity Point. Mm. They went out from there, turned over in the middle of the night. They were sitting on the top of the boat, top of the tinny. Matty Hayden, if you're listening, 133353, they were sitting on top all night before somebody went by in the morning and saved them.
That's proper stranding. That's not sunbathing topless,
just because I'm not an Australian cricketer doesn't mean my story is discounted. Thank you very much.
You were stranded probably 300 metres off a beach.
We could have swum to shore.
Proper people, please. Before we go to Mark and Victoria Point, the reality is there were two blokes that were fair dinkum. Their Hobie Cat, which is a little sailing boat. They were together out there. They would have been zooming around the other arvo.
Capsized.
And things went real nasty hair-shaped for them, and they did survive.
Do you reckon they were going out for a bit of topless sunbathing as well? Don't tell the news. They were all fishing like men.
I thought plenty of our listeners love to fish and have boats and go out, and I'm sure someone's been stranded at sea like I have.
If it was another radio station, they'd be hopeless, but our blokes and girls, when they get in a boat, are capable. They stay upright.
Mark from Victoria Point, Mark. Maybe not. Good morning. What did you get stranded at sea, Dave. Mark?
Yeah, quite a few times. I was reasonably well known by the Coast Guard down at Swansea in Newcastle.
First name basis, Mark.
Where were you down in Newcastle?
I was. Yeah. This is back in the mid-90s, so probably the later 90s, I suppose. Yeah. But, in my younger years, I got rescued off tinnies and that sort of thing. But probably the best one was I was out jumping the waves on the bar there on a jet ski.
Someone shot you.
I come undone, and basically the motor wouldn't start, and by the time they rescued me, it was 9 o'clock at night. I was about 9 miles off the coast.
Oh, my God.
Bobbing up and down in rough seas where no one else was going out over the bar, and, it wasn't pleasant, put it that way. Well,
that's why at least you're in the Moreton Bay, you've got islands protecting you from the sea, but... you look back now, and I watch those jet skiers jumping waves, and I hope that happens to them all the time.
I actually wrote that one off in the end in a different situation.
Yes.
And got smashed up against the rocks, just with big seas belt me against the rocks, and the only thing between the rocks and me was the ski.
Are you out of jet skiing now? You've given it away?
Well, I'd love to still be doing it, but my ex has got me last one.
Okay. You should get it back off her and go jet skiing with Marto, because he goes jet skiing alone too.
I do love it. It was the best sport I've ever done in my life.
Hey, I've been pulled in by the Coast Guard once from the middle of the bay. It's a very embarrassing thing when people hate jet skiers.
Yeah, well, you do it a few times, it doesn't get embarrassing after a while.
Thick skin, Mark.
I don't know what your situation, Mark, is, but in my defence, I am a Capricorn, so it's not entirely my fault that we got lost at sea.
How did we get onto this?
I am too.
Yeah, see, Mark, we are land animals. We are the goat and the ram, and we do not belong in the ocean.
And microphone down. Into it. Mark, I apologise, and all listeners, I apologise. How do we get onto astrology?
It must be legitimate, because Mark and I are Capricorns, and we should stick to the land.
Hold on, we are earth signs. David from Jindalee. Thanks, Mark from Victoria. David from Jindalee, are you a Capricorn?
No, I'm a Gemini.
Okay.
Well, that's a fire sign, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. Is this a story about getting
stranded at sea, David, or did you just ring to tell us you're a Gemini?
Yeah. broke down at sea. I had the computer fail on my boat. Yeah. A big boat motor, 115 Yamaha. And we were out at the Shoals fishing off Townsville, and there was a boat on the right and Big Bertram flybridge.
Yeah.
Radioed them, and they said they'd come and pick us up and tow us back into town at the end of the day when they were fishing.
Yeah.
And two of the guys I had on the boat ended up sitting in the back of this Bertram all the way back into town. We were drinking 4X Golds with Tubby Taylor. Oh. And I didn't realise until I get in, and he's throwing the rope to me, and I'm thinking, I know that face.
Hold on.
It was Tubby Taylor, so I'm sitting back in.
You're on the tow. Yeah, you're being towed in, but you stayed on your boat. They hopped on the big boat.
Yeah, on the gas with Tubby.
Tubby.
Is that a cricketer?
Yeah, Mark Taylor.
Yeah, okay.
Mark
Fujitsu. Taylor.
Yeah. Just thought I'd check.
Fujitsu air conditioning.
Cool, sorry. Thanks, David.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
It's on again tonight, 10 to 8. The footy's on again. It's Roosters Broncos. And we're paying $4.10, but that's because we're a young team. Actually, let's not talk too much footy. Let's remember last week when Gordy Tallis and Kevy Walters drove down to Sydney?
Yeah.
And then they had to drive back again. And Gordy said this.
I got up about 4:30 and picked Kevy up by 5. Pretty good drive. We got to Sydney about 3:30, actually.
Right. Did you go Pacific or New England?
No, Pacific. I sent Kevy a couple of options, And he goes, mate, no, that way's the quickest. And when he got in the car and we've been driving for about 3 hours, I said, mate, why'd you pick this way? He goes, I don't know, I've never driven to Sydney before.
All right, well, Arlen, there's two sides of every story and we've got him now. Maroons coach and general champion of life, Kevvy Walters. Hello, mate.
Hey, g'day, Marto. Yep. How are we this morning?
Now, they tell me you're back on the road again with Gordy.
Yeah, mate, we are. We left at 5, or Gordy picked me up at 5.
God.
Who's driving the first leg, Kevvy?
Gordy's driving the first leg. Yeah, he likes to take control, as you know, Margo, in situation. So he's got the wheel at the moment and been good so far. Not much traffic around and back to work again, which is great.
Now, a few people asked me after we spoke to Gordy last week, said, why are those two Muppets driving? What's wrong with – are there no planes?
Yeah, no. Well, if you fly down, you've got to be in isolation when you come back, I believe, at 14 days. So
driving's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, so driving's the way. And can you imagine 14 days in isolation with Gordy?
The most annoying thing about the big fella?
Nothing. He's sitting beside me, so I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. Look, he's got some great stories, and we just keep talking about the good old days. And actually, we both enjoyed the first round of footy that everyone's put up.
My God, obviously, Kev, how good was it?
The one referee, a lot of debate around about that, but look, I think it's been a huge success. Well, let's hope these baby Broncos tonight can bite back a bit, eh?
Hey, Kevvy, I've put it out, maybe a draw at half-time and the Roosters win. Is there any chance that might happen?
Oh, yeah, well, look, don't underestimate the wounded Broncos, but the Roosters are a great side, aren't they? You know, they're the reigning premiers back-to-back.
Kevvy, obviously the Roosters-Broncos game tonight on at Suncorp. It is an inexperienced baby Broncos, as they like to call them, but a really great bunch of talent there. Is it experience they're going to lack in tonight?
Oh, I think so. Margot's certainly got another couple of young boys, you know, on debut, which is good or bad for the club, I guess, which way you look at it. But, you know, the Broncos forwards for mine have got to be the ones that, you know, Payne House and Matthew Lodge, these sort of guys, Joe Offa-Hengawi, they've got to really sort of, you know, lead the way tonight against a really strong Roosters back. Of course, the inclusion of Victor Radley as well. We all thought that he was possibly going to be suspended, but he's available as well. So, yeah, it's a bit tough ask tonight for the Broncos, but I'm sure they'll be up for the challenge.
Kevvy, now you're outside of the Triple M range, deep into New South Wales. What are you guys listen to, the local radio stations, or are you doing podcasts?
Nothing is allowed to be on the radio. Gordy's got to talk. If anything can interrupt his talking, I get in trouble.
What's he proclaiming? What's he actually talking about, himself or other people?
No, we're just chatting about that. Well, we've had a chat about what's happening in the US with the violence that's going on over there.
A political chat.
We've had a chat about the footy tonight. We've had a chat about the weekend, our journey back. We talked about animals and how kangaroos can outrun lions. So much information comes out of Gordy. Like, I just love it. I've got my notebook here. I'm writing things down.
Just check with him. So what's his theory? Does he reckon if they dropped a few lions in the middle of Australia, would they, the kangaroos would survive? They wouldn't wipe them out?
Mate, if we went and put kangaroos in the middle of Africa, they would survive.
So you reckon kangaroos would be better than lions? That's incredible.
Yeah, mate, by far, because they breed better, and I reckon at full speed, I reckon they'd be the same, but their agility to jump side to side and over them.
That's true. Yeah, lions don't move laterally.
Gordy hasn't been watching those ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries. Right. He's been watching the David Attenborough ones, Animal Planet.
Champions drive
another
well.
One for you. I got another one for you before you go. Do you know that if a python latches onto your leg, all you have to do is tip vodka over it and it'll release?
Is that from Gordon as well?
That's from Gordy as well.
carry some vodka with you.
Oh, survival
in snake season, you need to take a bottle of vodka with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Kevvy. We might actually see the boys talk league tonight on Fox League. Thanks, fellas.
That's it. Cheerio.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
5 questions, and only one person will make it to the finish line and receive the ultimate bounty. It's the Big Breakfast's last person standing.
Mick, I'm not sure if you heard what Marto just said, but I don't know if he's been missing for the last few minutes, but he just said, what are all these people ringing for?
I was outside discussing
for,
something
Marto?
Else.
1-3-5-3, Brisbane's best quiz, last person standing, and Michael from Victoria Point joins us first. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
That's why you're ringing, isn't it? To be a part of the last person standing quiz?
Correct. First time.
Welcome. Marto,
first time.
Mick, Michael.
Nice one.
Oh, first time.
Mick from Vic.
Welcome to the Thunderdome, Michael.
We never have enough time in the morning, Michael, and Dave is relatively quick on the buzzer, so spit out the first answer that you can think of. Hopefully it's the right one. Let's start with question one. Which car company's logo consists of three red diamonds?
Mitsubishi.
Oh, nice word.
That's how it's
done. What sort of ute you got, Michael? This isn't a registered question. This is a side question.
I've got a Mitsubishi Triton.
Yeah, that's how he knew.
There you go. And
good car, so is my son.
Here we go. Question two. What is the wife of a sultan called?
Jesus.
It's silly. Picture the silliest answer.
It's not Jesus. Sorry, Michael.
Oh, Michael, you was quick. Natalie from Ormo. Did you hear the question, Nat?
Yeah, I did.
We'll just play you this music first. Welcome aboard, Natalie.
Another first timer.
Righto.
Thank you.
So let's say the Sultan of Borneo. What would his wife be called? What is she?
A title.
A princess?
I bet she is, silly. But no.
Think of the silliest.
Rob,
it's
from
so
Maruka.
Silly.
Is it a Sultana?
Robbie!
I just looked at Jack, our producer, who writes the questions. I'm like, is this a serious answer? He's like, yes, it is. A Sultana.
Question three.
And this is a strange one. I don't know whether this is an allegation or not. 50-50, Rob. Who's older? Seven-time Mr. Olympia, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or anabolic steroids?
Arnie.
No, though.
Get down.
Well, that opens it up for Michael from Kippering. What's the answer, Michael?
Steroids.
Nice,
get
mate.
Get to the chopper.
Here we go.
Question four.
Which Western Australian town is home to Australia's busiest port?
Oh.
Fremantle.
Negative.
No. Sorry, Michael.
Up
going
north.
Through it.
Russell from Heathwood, good morning. Just punch it out if you know it. Which Western Australian town is home to Australia's busiest port? Port.
Not sure.
Port.
Not sure is not an answer. Before we go to Steve from Deception Bay, Nick, would there be a migrant detention facility at this place or not?
Oh, okay. I'm not sure.
I don't know
there's a lot of mine sites there.
What I do know is 505 million tonnes of cargo moved through the port in 2017.
Well, that's not going to help anybody.
Well, maybe
in
it
2015,
might.
Steve.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, what do you reckon? Do you know WA? What's their busiest port?
Port Hedland.
There we go.
Oh, Steve. And is there a migrant detention centre there, Steve?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't know. I spent some time in WA doing the FIFO thing, but...
Oh, right. Nice.
It's the only town in all my years of touring that I had to have fast food for three meals of a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's great. Wow. Well,
chicken treat.
It's set up for shift work, I suppose.
Here we go.
Question Steve from five. Deception Bay. This is for the win. How many times have the New Zealand Warriors finished the season on the bottom of the NRL table?
Trick question.
Say three.
No,
Steve, it's not three.
It's another Steve.
Stephen from Loganholme.
Yeah.
How many times have the New Zealand Warriors finished the season on the bottom of the NRL table? Sorry, Stephen.
A number. Jim, you better get in with a number really quickly.
All right, four.
You're going the wrong way.
1-3-3-5-3. Dave is punching through people
just
here.
Just another Steve.
Another Steve. Steve, how many times?
Hold on, is that the same Steve?
Oh, sorry, Steve.
Steve from Deception Bay. Tony from Ipswich.
One.
No. It's not three. No. It's not one. It's not it's not R. Ashley.
It's not four.
From Tewantin. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. How many times have the New Zealand Warriors finished on the season at the bottom of the NRL table? It's not three. It's not one.
It's not two.
Geez, that opens it up nicely. Lower. From Moira from Bean Lee. What is it, Moira?
Is it one?
No!
He said that.
Hold
it's
on.
Not three, it's not two, it's not
Rob,
one.
Rob's from Bean Lee. What is it, Rob?
None. They never have.
They never have.
All right.
Oh, Rob. Are you an NRL Warriors fan?
Not really, but yeah.
You're a Kiwi, though.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, you'll be able to watch him because you've won a six-month KO subscription. Footy's back.
Yes.
And KO is the ticket to the best seat in the house.
Rob, how many times have the Wallabies beaten the All Blacks in the Bledisloe Cup series since 2002?
Four.
They never have.
Oh, well, they've won four times against us.
Yes, but all right, let's not get technical. All right, let's
have it. Congratulations, Rob.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
They always say the economy stuffed if buildings, the building industry stuffed. And I tell you what, they've made a move, the government. They're calling it a home builder program. And it starts today. And it's not just about, they always go, oh, we need to get new house builds up and going. No, this time, for the first time in my life, they're finally going to give you some money, give you a grant to do some renovations. And Margot, Nick, we've been talking about this going, oh, hold on. What's this about? How much are they going to give you? How much are you allowed to earn before they give it to you? Better than us just talking about it. We should go to an expert.
Yeah, we've got Professor Kevin McDougall, Head of School of Civil Engineering at University of Southern Queensland, to break it all down for us. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Margo. How are you?
Yeah, good. $25,000 they want to give us, but what do we have to do to get it?
Yes, there's always strings attached, of course.
Yes.
So the first thing is that it needs to be owner-occupiers, so it can't be an investment property.
Okay.
So that's a pretty clear message. Also, if you're earning too much money, they're not going to give you money if you're particularly well off. So there is an income cap of $125,000 for individuals,
yeah,
and $200,000 for couples.
Okay, so if I'm a couple and our combined income is $140,000, I can go and get this $25,000.
Yeah, exactly right. The devil's going to be in the detail, of course.
So Kev, I remember when they were trying to get out of the GFC and they went, oh, let's do the pink bat scheme. It led to a few deaths and it didn't work out and there were dodgy contractors involved. This time they've got a safeguard to make sure it's not dodgy people coming into the industry new, yeah?
Correct. They want to make sure that those that are coming in to do this building work will be qualified. So that will be registered and licensed builders by and large that meet particular standards and can be regulated by the building industries across each of the states.
So it's not a $12,000 job. You've got to get a decent sized reno done. Is that what I read?
If you're looking to build a new home, those new homes can be up to $750,000, which would cover many homes and cover most of the capital cities and the median prices there. If you're going to do a home reno, those renovations need to be something of the order of about $150,000. It's not a $30,000 reno and you get $25,000 towards it. So there's a significant contribution by the homeowner.
You've got to be serious. You've got to be seriously doing a reno, and then there has to be contracts exchange. I guess it can't just be a cashy.
No. $150,000 cashy won't cut it.
Well, those things don't happen.
No, not usually. And you would need to go through the normal regulatory process. So if you're going to do a $150,000 renovation, it will require building approvals.
Professor Kevin, how do we find out whether we're eligible or not or be able to receive this grant?
The government is going to provide further details of that today, but I think if you start to Google the home builder scheme, I would expect that further details will emerge once the government officially releases it today.
So it's only starting today, Kev, isn't it?
Yes, the government's releasing it today. The final details I'm not totally across until that comes out. But yes, effectively it's kick-starting today and people can apply from today.
Can I check, is this also go along with, if I, because they're saying you can do it up until Christmas this year. Let's say I'm a 25-year-old tradie, I've just finished my apprenticeship, I'm making less than that $110,000 a year, and I go, I want to get the first homeowner's grant so I can buy a house in this period and then also arrange to do a reno. Could I get up to $40,000? Like that's $15,000 for the first homeowners. Can I also get the $25,000 for the reno?
The detail of that, I think, needs to be worked out. There will be variations from state to state. Right. So those elements of details, I think the government would be looking at closely, but I would expect that if they are independent components there, they may well be able to work together.
Geez, I hope it works, because if we're not building anything, our economy is indeed stuffed. Hey, thank you, Professor Kevin McDougall, Head of the School of Civil Engineering at USQ. You're a champ.
No problems. Thanks very much.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Guys, I'm feeling slightly embarrassed. Let me read you my recent internet history.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's not going
to
be as grim as you think.
Are we allowed to do this after 8 o'clock?
Yeah, we can. We can.
Okay.
Lance Armstrong. The next thing. Tour de France. Then Tour de France highlights. Then good bike rides near me.
Oh, wow.
Road bikes for new riders.
We got you.
Different types of pedals.
Oh,
do
no.
I need clip shoes?
Yes,
oh,
you do.
No.
You,
yes,
you have do. Become a cyclist.
No, he has. Well, no, not a cyclist. He's become an enthusiast.
My wife last.
What's the difference?
Well, you get bike rider. That's someone who just has a bike and rides around. Then you get cyclist, and in between there, he's curious.
My wife came into my office last night, and I had to change tabs on the internet quickly. She's like, "What are you watching? Are you watching Tour de France highlights again?"
Oh God!
It's not what you think.
Did you put your hands up in the air?
Oh, clear.
Well, my pants buttoned up.
Yeah, not the shirt. Oh, that's incredible. That hasn't taken long either. Tell everyone how far you rode last Sunday.
No, was it
45K?
Longest
ever.
Have
you got like a little secret group message happening, you two? We're like a cycling message.
No, we never even see each other. Mm. We just park our bikes and come to work. And then we go home separately. We don't ride together.
Nick, where do you think it all went downhill for you? Where, was it when you first...
Well, I can go uphill as well. Help the words. Yeah, it's another Google search. Don't worry.
I think I realised you had been got when you started wearing high vis. Whilst riding.
Well, I'd ride it, you know, 4 a.m. You need to be seen on the road.
Yeah.
No. And that's
what
headlights
And then
are
he
for.
Went to that psychology, I think it was, as in CYC. Yep. He went to their website and bought a few items to keep his face warm and
then
stuff.
Mardo mentioned to me, he saw my bike and said, why don't you have clip pedals?
Yeah,
you're wasting energy. And then my sister-in-law, her partner's a Belgian bloke, Mick, and Mick's done riding all through Europe.
Yeah.
And then I said, hey, my co-host Mardo said, I need clip pedals. He's like, of course you need clip pedals. Yeah. You're wasting energy. And I'm Googling clip pedals.
You two were talking search. About the laws of gravity, what goes up must come down, because you were talking about when you turn your legs over on the bike, you've got to push down.
No, if you don't have clip-in shoes, okay, what you're doing, you're only pushing. You remember your days riding bikes? Pushing, 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 and you're wasting that upstroke. You should be pulling up and push. So you're using the whole cycle. I'm making arm movements while I'm on radio.
That's lovely. I actually don't care, though, Marto, but heard that you two were talking about it yesterday.
Okay.
It's become a thing for you, Nick, has it?
Yeah, I think so. Cycling may be a hot... Like, I've rode a bike for years. I didn't have a license until 2 years ago, but now I've been riding a bike more and more and more. I'm starting to worry it's coming into cycling. I'm 33. I don't know if that's too late.
Lycra?
To start
Are you
it.
No, Lycra?
No, perfect Lycra. Age. No Lycra.
I would have said when you get chamois down in between your groin region, that i.e. Lycra, that's when you're a cyclist.
Is that the gateway Lycra?
I think so. But as long as you don't wear the tight shirt on top. So I wear Lycra down below, but I won't wear a shirt, a
blood
cycling
cells?
Shirt.
Right. We got the red blood cells yet,
No, we're
Nick?
Not shipping.
Oh, are you doping?
We're not getting our blood spun, if that's what you're talking about.
Doping for your ride to work?
One,
are you
three,
saying
five,
it's a three. Hobby? Is that what you're calling
Nick's
it?
Nick's asking if there's a syringe bin in the toilets here at Triple M. No. I need that testosterone. No. I want to know, how old were you and what new hobby did you start? There's, but my father-in-law didn't start cycling until a few years ago. And he's 73.
Deanie from Tarragindi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that how I say it? Is it Deanie or Deanie?
No, Deanie. Like who Deanie?
Deanie's.
Oh, Deanie.
Yeah. Right,
Deanie. What hobby have you started?
I started tap dancing for my 50th birthday. So it was meant to be a surprise, but because of COVID, we've had to postpone it. So I'd planned to tap dance for all of my friends and family around the DJ booth on my 50th.
Will you have
tap
a
dog style?
Now, Deanie, was this because, what was that show where they throw the celebrities in the jungle? Rhonda Birchmore, did she inspire this?
Absolutely not. It was a tuck shop.
Tuck
One
shop.
Of the ladies told me there was Pilates and tap classes. I cracked up and thought I've got to get on board.
Wow. Have you done it? You've done it a couple of times?
I've done it half a dozen times and then COVID happened. So I'm emailing madly the children's dance school saying, when am I tap back on?
What do you love about it, Deanie?
Not taking myself very seriously.
Yeah. Yep.
Righto.
Time away from the kids.
The hysteria of it all. My God, it's so funny.
Any Zumba? Right. Have you ever tried Zumba or are you into these new things all the time?
No, I'm not. I just liked the shoes and I've always done pretend tapping when I'm drunk. Yeah. So I thought, bloody hell, I'm a good pretend tapper.
Follow it up.
Surely I can do.
Oh, I love
Let's
you.
Make it legit.
What a champion.
Jason from Fernie Hills. Good morning.
How are we today? Good morning.
Hello, Jason.
Good. Nick's taken up cycling. Deanie's taken up tap dancing. What have you taken up?
Mine was collecting wrestling figures.
Oh, Jason.
Since the age of eight. Oh.
Mm-hmm. You've been collecting them since the age of eight. You haven't just started.
No, since I was young.
Okay.
Didn't WWF figures. Remember Margot bought her young fella for his ninth birthday some of those.
Jason, are you old enough now, ready to offload said wrestling figures? Because I will take them off your hands.
At 31, I probably should be ready to offload them.
Oh, still, we're going to get to Margot, because you'd understand this, mate. She had a Scott Hall wrestling figure on a nine-year-old's birthday cake. I don't think Scott Hall's been around for 20 years.
Razor, he's been in AA for a while, but not in the ring, unfortunately. Oh,
that's sad to hear about, Scott, for all those people who don't know who he is. Hey, Jace, how many you got?
Oh, mate, over a couple of hundred easily. Oh,
what's the best one?
Too sweet.
Who have you got?
The best one, mate, I was always a Sting fan, so he's got to be up there. He's got the jacket and the baseball bat. It's fantastic.
Jason, once you give me all of those wrestling figures, because you're too old for them, what is the next hobby on your agenda?
Finding a girlfriend, because...
yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Jace. We'll save your details for Margo to talk to later.
Hey, Paul from Narangba.
Hey, Marto.
Yeah, what's the hobby?
Oh, an electric guitar, mate, at 43.
Oh, you started playing.
Oh!
Yeah, just started playing. I'm enjoying it.
What's the first song, Paul, that you learnt?
Smoke on the Water.
I had $100 on that.
Is that the first riff that everybody learns when they get a guitar?
Absolutely.
Hey, Paul, how'd you get into it?
I've always been enthusiast of it, but, just finally decided to bite the bullet and get it going.
Excellent.
Just on your own so far? You haven't done a little performance after a few bevvies?
Yeah, no, not yet, mate.
You'll break it out. Oh, that's it.
God, that makes me feel good. Yeah. Now I shouldn't be embarrassed. I'm 33 and I'm getting into cycling.
No, you still should be embarrassed. Amanda from Ipswich, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Hobby at an older age. Well, what have you taken up?
Well, 7 years ago when I was 53, my husband bought me my first motorcycle. I had a 800cc Suzuki Boulevard.
Jesus,
Didn't realise what an awesome rider I am. Wayne Gardner, the female, I say. Oh. We were heading down to Sydney and going through the Putty Road and the guys were, I was just zooming through the hills there. And I didn't realise till we stopped at the end that the guys actually couldn't keep up with me.
Now, that's a bike, Amanda, isn't it?
So you were natural.
Yes, I was. I am. That's right.
No, still ride?
No one under the age of 50 knows who Wayne Gardner is, but
I
that's
do.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
MotoGP rider.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Hey, Amanda, that's amazing. We will put you on the very short list of finalists to take over the Boundary Hotel. You and nine mates have the whole place to yourself, a private front bar.
Definitely.
Oh, excellent. It's been a while since you've been to the pub.
Beg your pardon?
It's been a while since you've been to the pub.
Been a while. We're desperately looking to go out for dinner. Oh, my God.
Yes,
oh my
God. If you win, you've got to do a wheelie for us out the front, a street-legal wheelie.
Oh, we can bring all the bikes. Don't worry. We'll make
you and Nick side by side, one on his motorcycle and one on his bicycle.
I'm a villain.
The whole thing will be put on. So good luck. We're announcing it on Friday. Get your friends back to the pub at the Boundary Hotel, West End's most iconic pub, theboundary.com.au. Let's go out with a bit of Paul playing his new guitar.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, doing well, Paul.
Oh. It's not really.
Nah, it's not really. Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
G'day, it's Dave. That's it for today's catch-up podcast. 4th of June, it's a Thursday, 2020. If you are listening to it on the day that this was released, tomorrow morning on the show, we are giving away a pub. You and your mates taking over the Boundary Hotel in West End. Saturday afternoon, food, drink, all provided. It's all yours. You got another chance to get on the very short list of finalists. Tomorrow morning, it's also Meat Tray Friday. So tune in, The Big Breakfast, 5:30 till 9 a.m. on Brisbane's 104.5 Triple M. See you then.